It's your time. Time to reconnect. Time to reconcile. Time for revival. And time for rebirth. You're tuned in to The Rebirth Experience with Pastor Anthony, pastor of Rebirth Church. Now, here's Pastor Anthony.
This woman, and they say, listen, she's caught in adultery. Now, what you have to see is that in this moment, the law of Moses is in action. Someone say the law of Moses. See, but we, not because that's where the law came. The law came through Moses. It came through Moses. The law came, say what I mean, the law came through Moses. But grace came through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What we see here is the law of Moses versus the grace of Christ. See, they bring this woman in this. It's a standoff. Someone say standoff. It's a standoff because what they wanted to see was, will Jesus break the law? And a lot of people have a misconception that when Jesus came, he came to break the law. No, Jesus did not come to break the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. What Jesus came to do was break the curse over humanity, but he came to fulfill the law. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Look at what it says. Thank you, Jesus. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but what? I came to fulfill. So Jesus, a lot of misconception, a lot of people preach it the wrong way. They think that actually Jesus Christ came to destroy the law. He did not come to break the law. He came to fulfill it. In fact, he was the only one that was able to fulfill it 100%. He was the only one. Say the only one with me. See, the law, let me explain the law for a second. The law was perfect. When God came and gave the law to Moses, he gave Moses not just the Ten Commandments, but he gave Moses 613 do's and don'ts. It's just like the church I grew up in. I think we had about 1,000. I think we went over the Bible. I really did. Because in our church, you couldn't go bowling. You couldn't have a bald head. See, immediately I go to hell just for them. Based on their rules. You couldn't go to Six Flags. You hear what I'm saying? You couldn't go to the movies. The girls could not shave their legs. Good God. So you had everybody looking like Teen Wolf all over the place. You get what I'm trying to say? We had a lot of rules. But God puts a lot of rules on. And he says, listen, it's not that you weren't sinning. You were already sinning, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to release 10 commandments, but it just doesn't stop there. There's going to be 613 rules. 613 rules. What God did was he made it absolutely impossible for anybody to ever achieve holiness. He made it absolutely impossible for anybody to ever achieve grace or righteousness. He made it impossible. Someone say impossible. He made it impossible. I mean, that God, you almost think that God was trying to set us up to fail when you really think about it, because he gives us the law and he says, this is what I want you to do. And he gives them pages and pages of things that they should do and don't, are not supposed to do. Imagine that. You know, come on, young people. You know, some of you know where I'm going. Your parents have a bunch of rules in the house. You got to be home at 11. You got to go to sleep at 11:30. You got to read books. You know what I'm talking about. Young people, you should be shouting at me right now. There's a lot of rules. You don't say. Some of you won't shout because you're afraid. Mama might smack you right now. I get it. See. But at the end of the day, God says, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of rules. And in order, if you want to be right before me, you got to do all of them and do it perfectly. You can't break one of them. It's almost if I had Angel right now and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a tray and I want you to take about 12 cups of water and I want you to walk back and forth. And no matter what, those 12 cups of water, I don't want you to spill of one drop, not once. And if you spill a glass, if you spill a drop, it's going to be as if you spilled all of them. God was saying, when I give you the law, this is what I need you to do. Because if you break one, it's like you broke all of them. See, so maybe you didn't murder anybody, but if you lied, God says, I'm equating it to that you broke the law for every 613 one. So, yes, you didn't lie, but maybe you killed somebody. Maybe you killed somebody. Maybe you adulterated. Maybe you didn't do that. But no matter what, if you broke one of them, you are a criminal of all of them. Jesus. Look at what it says in James chapter 2, verse 10. Let me back it up with scripture because somebody's doubting me right now. If you obey every law except one, you are still guilty of breaking them all. God is saying at the end of the day, what I wanted to do was for you to be perfect, but you can't be perfect. So what God does is that he gives a law, check this out, a law that is impossible. Now, the law was glorious. The law was perfect. It was too perfect. The law was so perfect that nobody could achieve that level. The Bible says that the law was, in other words, it was glorious, but it was a ministry of condemnation, and it was a ministry of death. Can you believe that? That God gave a law and said, as long as you follow the Ten Commandments and 613 rules, 613 of all of them, as long as you follow each and every one of them, you will be perfect. So it's okay to do, maybe you do all of them in one day and you're good, but can anybody really follow the rules every single day? Absolutely not. I mean, we're all human. At some point, you are going to break the rules. At some point, you are going to fall short. At some point, you are going to fall into what we call is sin. So when God gave the law, he gave the law so that you would know how sinful you are. And he gave the law so that you can know how holy he was. And he gave the law so that you can understand how much you needed a savior. Thank you, Jesus. See, so when the law came, what the law did, let me slow it down for a second. When the law came, what the law did was increase sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Thank you, Jesus. But the law came to increase and expand the awareness of the trespass by defining and unmasking sin. But where sin increased, God's remarkable, gracious gift of grace, his unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased all the more. So when God gave the law, what he did was he made it perfect. Someone say perfect. It was holy. Someone say holy. But what it also did was increase your awareness of sin. And anytime you become more aware of one thing, you wind up doing the very thing that you're more aware of. Let me break it down. Let me break this down. Okay, so I don't want you to think about a juicy burger. I don't want you to think about a juicy burger with onions on it. And I don't want you to think about a juicy burger with bacon on it. I just don't think about a juicy burger with lettuce and tomato. Don't think about a juicy burger. Don't, whatever you do, do not think of a juicy burger. You know what I'm saying? With sauteed mushrooms. Don't. Marion, whatever you do, do not think. What were the most of you doing? Thinking of what? That juicy burger. See, that's what rules and regulations does. It increases your knowledge of what really you can do. And so because you can't do it, your human flesh wants to do it. Jesus. All right. Let me explain. I had a friend. He surprised us on Friday. He came by the house, and he's from Kissimmee, Florida. And he came up, and he said, I just wanted to hang out with you guys for a little bit. And he started talking to me about this softball team that he's coaches. And he said, the reason we're up here actually is because we have a tournament. And they canceled the game because of the rain, so I decided to come by your house. I said, fantastic. We're sitting down. He started testifying about a girl that was lesbian that came into his group, and his parents said, do us a favor, change her. Now, come on, family. You know that doesn't work like that. Now, that was kind of silly, kind of redunculous of them saying that. But they say, here, we're giving you our daughter. She's really gifted and talented and playing softball. But what we need you really to do is to change her. And my friend said, first of all, let me explain to you, I am not going to change her. If anybody's going to change her, it's going to be God. But see, instead of me, and look at how he broke it down. He said, instead of me telling her what she's doing wrong, what I'm going to do is just tell her to draw closer to the Father. He said, what I'm going to do is take her eyes off of what she's doing wrong and take her eyes to where she needs to be doing right. Look at this. The more he talked about how she needed to draw closer to God, the less she wanted to be a lesbian. my God. Do you hear what I'm saying? She thought she was born like that, but the more she got to God, the less she wanted to be a lesbian. Within about 8 months, she said, I don't want this lifestyle anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. What I want to be is just the way God created me to be, because when you understand that you draw nearer to the Father, you draw away from those things that are trying to grab you back. I wish I had a witness in this place. Do you feel what I'm saying? See, this society will have you try to draw on what you can't do, what you should do, how you should do it. See, I grew up like that. I grew up in an old school church. I'm telling you, when I tell you I grew up in an old school church, I grew up in an old school church. I'm telling you right now, they're still singing the same songs right now. As we speak right now, they're still singing the same songs. My Lord Jesus, help me out, Lord God. And so what we have to understand is that when God gave the law, it was perfect. It was holy. It was wonderful. But it was also a ministry of condemnation. There was no way you can actually practice the law and really survive by practicing all of them. Because in a matter of seconds, you can sin like this. So nobody was going to be perfect. Say nobody with me, nobody. I like the way Creflo Dollar says it. He says like this. He says the Ten Commandments were not given to produce holiness, but they were given so you can have your face knocked to the floor and make you realize that you cannot survive without a Savior. So, and you would think that the law would have produced holiness, but what it really did was produce more weakness inside of us. Because it made me realize how weak I was, but how strong He was. But there's a problem with that, because at the end of the day, I don't have enough strength to get to God. And I don't have enough tenacity to get to God. I don't have any righteousness to get to God. I want to draw nearer to God, but I can't do it on my own strength. I can't. That's why I love it when people say this silly, dumb phrase. Well, I want to start going to church when I get it together. You can't get it together yourself. You can't do this on your own strength. Look at your neighbor. Tell them that's dumb. That's the dumbest thing any of us can say. I don't understand why some of us refuse to acknowledge that I can't make it on my own strength. I can't do this on my own strength. And what the Lord did was expose me to my sin, but it also exposed me to a Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, the law may have come to increase sin. Is this too deep for some of y'all? Is this a little too much? See, the law may have come to increase sin, but what it did, it also gave an opportunity for grace to come on the scene. See, that's what it did. See, so as long as I live by the law, I can live right. But I can't live by the law. No one can live by the law. How many times did some of you probably broke about 10 commandments this morning? Think about it for a quick second. No one is right. At the end of the day, we can't. Well, nobody's 100%. Nobody has made it. Nobody has attained a full holiness. Well, somebody in this place, I believe, is struggling with something. And I want to apologize to some of our guests. Perhaps, maybe, just maybe the church has painted a perfect picture to you that, you know what? Nobody struggles. Man, that we always have our hair combed, that our breath never stinks, that when we come out of the bathroom, it smells like potpourri. I'm sorry. I want to apologize on behalf of the church right now. It's never like that. I'm telling you right now. It's never like when we come out of the bathroom, demons have to run too. You know what I'm saying? It hasn't always been like that. And so they bring this woman and they bring her out to the crowd and they bring her because she broke the law. And they say she deserves to be killed. She deserves to be executed. That's what the Lord did. It left you exposed. It left you vulnerable. It left you feeling like I can't do this on my own. It left. Can you imagine this woman caught in the middle of adultery? Caught. I mean, can you imagine? Have you ever got caught in a lie? I know you're not gonna even. See, some of you are not even admit to it. But have you ever got caught in a lie? Let's be honest. Have you got caught in a lie? Yeah, see, some of you going even. You're lying right now. See, some of us we've broken laws. But when I see this picture. I see this picture and I see her accusers telling her what she did wrong and how she should be killed and how she should be condemned. Then all of a sudden, as I'm reading the story, Randy, I begin to say, wait a minute, this sounds familiar. This sounds familiar. This sounds familiar. This sounds like my everyday life. This sounds like my everyday life. This sounds like your everyday life. What do you mean, Pastor? The Bible tells me, put up on the screen, Revelation chapter 12. Look at what the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says. I want to read the second part. It says, and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of your brethren, that's talking about Satan, who accused them before our God, day and night has been cast down. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1 also talks about we have an accuser. We all know who it is. It's Satan. Satan stands. That's why I'm telling you, this whole scandal became a courtroom all of a sudden. Because here are the accusers saying she did wrong. Here are the accusers saying she's wrong. She should be killed. Here are the accusers saying she should be condemned. See, just like some of you, you should be dead right now. You should be sick right now. You should be lost right now. You should be done right now. You should be broken right now. See, just the way the accuser does, he points to you and says, you can't make it, you can't do it, you're nobody, you're nothing. That's what the accuser does. And then in the middle of all the accusation, Jesus takes a break and says, Jesus stoops down. I want to talk about the God that stoops down. I want to talk about the God that stoops down because the Bible says he stooped. But wait a minute. This is not the first time he's ever stooped to the floor. This is not the first time he stooped to the ground. This is not the first time. This is not the first time. Wait a minute. I remember Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says that when he was getting ready to create man, the Bible says he created man from the dust of the, my God. He created man from the dust of the ground. Where's the dust? The dust is in the floor. So he had to stoop. He had to stoop down. He had to stoop down to create. He didn't send an angel. He could have sent an angel. He could have sent an angel, but he didn't send an angel. He didn't want an angel to do his dirty work. My God. He stooped down to create man. It wasn't the first time. It wasn't the last time when God stooped down. The Bible says, are you with me? Family, are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? The Bible says that he wanted to commune with man. And he told Moses, I want to commune with you. But because you can't come up, I've got to come down, my God. So he says, build me a tabernacle so I can dwell with you. Build me a, so God had to stoop down. See, wait a minute. My memory serves me right. Is that the first, no, the last time that God has ever had to stoop down? The Bible tells me that because humanity was all lost and because the law was not going to help us out, the Bible says that Jesus volunteered and said, I will go down to mankind. What do you mean, Pastor? Look at, put up Philippians chapter 2. Look, what do you mean, Pastor? I want you to get this because this is a building moment. It says, who although he existed in the form and unchanging essence of God as one with him, posing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it or was afraid of losing it. Next verse. But emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity by assuming the form of a bondservant, which means human form. I don't know if we have the next version, the CEV version. Look at what it says. He was like God in every way, but he did not think that his being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, he gave up everything. He, even in his place with God, he accepted the role of a servant. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Kings of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tiskanu, the God of all gods, our Lord, our precious King, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life, our God, our strength, the great I Am. He chose and said, wait a minute, I'm going to stoop down low. I'm going to not only be stooped down to a certain level, I'm going to stoop down to become what I created. I'm going to, oh my Jesus, I'm going to stoop down. I'm going to wrap myself in flesh, put myself in Mary, and I'm going to stoop down. My God, do you understand? Stoop down. Now here is Jesus. You have to imagine the kings of kings, the Lord of lords. He had to stoop down. Now he has to depend on his own creation to feed him. He had to stoop down. I'll tell you, y'all need to holler back at your preacher today. See, he stooped down. It wasn't the first, or no, neither was the last time. He had to stoop down. The Bible says he went from riches to rags. He stooped down. He went from being rich to being poor. He stooped down. He was in a royal palace and was born in a mundane manger. He stooped down. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't the first and it wasn't the last. The Bible says hours before he crucified himself, he stoops down to wash the feet. Isn't that what ministry really is? Woo! Isn't that what ministry really is? See, some of you just, my God, some of you just think that ministry is on Sunday. No. Ministry is to the broken. Ministry is to the lost. Ministry is stooping down, helping them out. How can I bless you? How can I help you? How can I restore you? Ministry, that's what real ministry is about. And stooping down, he stooped 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 down. Now Jesus has to submit himself to his parents. Wait a minute, I created you, but I'm stooping down. This is Jesus. Do you feel what I'm saying? He stooped down. This is the creator of heaven and earth that doesn't need food, yet he needs food now. He stooped himself down. Do you see what I'm saying? And the Bible says that he stoops down and acts like he doesn't hear a word what they say. He rises back up and begins to teach for a brief second. And he says like this, if anybody has not sinned, cast the first stone. In other words, if there's anybody perfect right here, right now, come up to the front. If there's anybody that holy, then you know what? You cast the first stone. And the Bible says after he finished saying that, he stooped. Again, my God. My God. You know what God told me? That this is a typology. This is a symbol that he stooped down twice. Why did he stoop down twice? God, I begin to say, God, why? Not once, but why twice? Why? Nah, come on, family, say it with me. Not once, but not twice. Why twice? Twice. He stoops down. It was a representation that the first time he stooped down so he could become man. But on the second time that he stooped down so he could die on the cross as a sinner. My God. He stooped down to become like sin. The Bible says he became as sin and he went down. Look at this. He stooped down a second time. He stepped down a second time. And when he stooped down a second time, it represented his death and his burial. And it represented when he went to the gates of hell and beat the devil up, took the keys of Hades. It represented that. And the Bible says, look at this. The Bible says that when he got up, it was a representation that when he resurrected from the grave, because the Bible says that he looked around and there was no accuser. Spiker, do you hear what I'm saying? Nobody accused. There was, in fact, wait a minute. Let me correct this. There was one person that could have condemned her. One person. Yes, everybody walked away because everybody had broken the law at some point. But there was one person that never broke the law. It was Jesus Christ. And he looked at her. Amanda, come over here. He looked at her. And can you imagine? Lay yourself flat on the floor, face forward. Can you imagine? And he stooped down. I love it because the Bible says this is the way this woman is right now. She is prostrated. She is embarrassed. She is lonely. She is exposed. She is vulnerable. She is hurting. Her sin has been discovered. And look at what Jesus does. He stoops down to her level. Let me tell you why Christ stooped down. The reason Christ stooped down was because she could not get up. Woo! My God, that was better than what you received right now. The reason Christ stooped down was because she did not have the strength to get up. She broke the law. She deserved death. But at the end of the day, since you can't get up on your own, I want to stoop down. And I'm going to become just like you. And I'm going to walk among you like a man. And I'm going to be 100% human as I will as 100% God. And I'm going to die. I'm going to become I'm not going to be a sinner, but I'm going to become sin so that you can become righteous. So he stoops down. And just like in the third day of the resurrection, he rises up, no accusers. And he looks at him and says, go. He says, where are your condemners? Where are your accusers? Because that's what Christ does every day for you and I. He goes before the Father and says, yes, yes, Amanda did wrong. Yes, Randy did wrong. Yes, Marco did wrong. But look at, I paid the price for them already. Look at the scars on my hand. Look at the blood that I've shed. Look at what I've always done for them. Look at, look. And the reason I'm able to say that, because I stooped down to that level. And the Bible says that on the third day, Christ rose. And when he rose, the temple, remember, when he died, the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, signifying that the law was fulfilled and now grace was dominating. And here he is. He looks at the woman and he says, in other words, look up, child. Where are your accusers? And the one person that could stone her says, neither do I condemn you. This one person, Christ, oh my, he could have laid down the stone. Now he says to her, like, rise up right now. He says to her, I got instructions for you. Go and sin no more. Plain and simple, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go and sin. Okay, so in conclusion, what does that mean to us right now? When he said, go sin no more, what he was really saying is that my grace now makes it sufficient for you to not sin like the way you used to. A lot of people think that sin dominates us. Sin does not dominate us. If you are in Jesus, sin does not dominate you. The moment he rose from the grave. He made it able for all of us to be set free from the law and from sin. That's why the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The Bible says, now, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are where? In Christ Jesus. So I come to tell you, he's the God that stooped down for me. I tell you right now, you have a pastor. If you come to this church, if you're going to be a part of our church, if you've been a part of our church already, you got a pastor that understands that he stooped down for me. He did. He stooped down. He stooped down. I should have been lost. I should have been broken even more. But he stooped down for me. I couldn't get up. So he stooped down to pick me up. And even when I mess up, he still stoops down. For the Bible says, if a just man falleth seven times, the Lord shall raise him up seven times. So this is a message. Not, I see, I know a lot of people saying, well, I got Jesus in my heart. Wait a minute. Notice what he said. Go and sin no more. You can only have Christ or sin in your heart. Pick one today. And today I believe I'm calling the church to repentance. To get your act right. This thing that I'm struggling with so-and-so thing, I get it. But that sin, that struggle does not dominate you. God has granted us grace so that we can overcome all struggles. For the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And why was it? Because God chose to stoop down for me. Stand to your feet. I'm calling somebody that you understand today by this word that, hey, he stooped down for me. And maybe you go to church, but you don't serve Christ. That's a possibility. If that's you and you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, you want to give your heart to the God that stooped down for you, I want you to raise your hand in the air right now. And say, I acknowledge what Christ did on the cross for me. I acknowledge it. I know there's somebody here. In fact, there's three people the Holy Spirit told me. I can't push you.
This has been the Rebirth Experience with Pastor Anthony, pastor of Rebirth Church. Continue the experience Sunday mornings at 10:30 with Pastor Anthony, now meeting at St. Augustine High School at 3405 Varela Avenue. Call 904-325-9647, 325-9647 for more information. and visit rebirthchurch.tv. Rebirthchurch.tv.